Colleen and Bryson are so talented. I told them there'd be only three verses, and on the fly, they just did five. Thank you for... You guys are awesome. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. We don't know where the term the peanut gallery comes from. There's a good guess of where it comes from. The best guess is that it comes from the 1860s. That those people who couldn't afford the expensive seats in the theater, they would buy the cheap seats in the back by Barry and Betty, in the very back. And because the cheapest snack available was peanuts, that's what they ate. But this is how the term really got to stick in, apparently, in American culture. When the actors up front and the production scene became kind of chaotic, you see, the people in the back with the peanuts would unload the peanuts from the back and hit the actors and those that were up front in the theater with the peanuts. Now, that's the best guess where the phrase the peanut gallery comes from. Now, I don't know about any of you, but I wouldn't be too happy if I was sitting in the front and had paid certain monies to sit in the front of the theater. For one, it's not cool getting pegged with peanuts in the back of your head or having peanuts fly over the top of your head. And if you're really enjoying the production, what's in front of you, the people in the back, the people in the peanut gallery can ruin it and throw it off from what it's supposed to be showing and the fun that everyone's having in the theater. Today is Pentecost Sunday. What does that have to do with a peanut gallery? We'll get there. You know how I am. I like to do crazy things. Well, here's the thing. On Pentecost Sunday, some wild things are happening. We heard it here in Luke's account in Acts chapter 2. Wild things are happening. In fact, Luke doesn't even know how to describe it. He uses similes in the Greek. That's unusual. He can't even pinpoint what's being said. So he says this. The Holy Spirit comes in like a rushing wind. It's not exactly like that. He uses a metaphor, a simile, comparing it to a rushing wind. And then the tongues of fire that are resting over the heads, he's not really sure how to describe that. He says it's like rushing. It's like a fire over the top of heads, setting down upon them. But he's not really sure on how to describe all this. And then people begin to speak in their own native languages, and everyone understands one another. What a wild scene. What a stage we have here. God doing some sort of production. Now, here's the thing on the day of Pentecost. Peter and the 11 disciples, they see what's going on. They pick up the Bible, basically, and they say, what's happening here was prophesied in the 8th century by Joel the prophet. The Holy Spirit's going to come down. Peter and the 11, they get it. They're like the crowd in the front of the theater. They like what God is doing, this production. Here's the peanut gallery. Did you see it in Acts chapter 2? There's a group that's forming, and they're the peanut gallery. Luke says that, yeah, they're throwing the peanuts. The text says that they're mocking what's happening. That's a rare verb in the Greek New Testament, only occurring in one other place. And it is a harsh statement. They are ridiculing what's going on. They are pelting down upon the 12 disciples. They're trying to ruin what God is doing on the day of Pentecost. That's what's behind the word mocking. There's the peanut gallery. So we have two groups. We have those who see God is doing something. The Holy Spirit is coming and active at work. Then we have people that are in the peanut gallery. Friends, that's the whole book of Acts, actually. This pattern repeats itself numerous times. Pentecost happens numerous times where the Holy Spirit comes down. Here's another example. Stephen in Acts chapter 6. The way that the details here are given, it's very peculiar again. And what you get in Acts chapter 6 is that whoever's recording it, we're pretty sure it's Luke. He's there because he gives an eyewitness account of what happens to Stephen. He gives his facial features when he's speaking. And what happens is Stephen is full of the Holy Spirit, and Luke says that Stephen gazes up into the heavens, And he sees the full glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God the Father. See, there's the group. Luke and Stephen are enjoying what God is doing. But there's a peanut gallery in Acts chapter 6. A mob comes into the scene. They see the exact same thing as Stephen and all of the disciples. They hear Stephen's speech, but they come to a completely different conclusion over what's happening. They don't see the Holy Spirit. They grind their teeth away and they get enraged and they take Stephen out of the city and they put him to death. This is the book of Acts. Spirit comes down, two groups form. One group sees the Holy Spirit, one group forms itself and makes a peanut gallery and tries to ruin everything that's going on. That's the book of Acts. So where are you? The Holy Spirit has come down. Are you joining with Peter and the 11 disciples? The Holy Spirit is alive and at work in my life? Or are we ones to join the peanut gallery and mock and scorn and jeer and sneer? I think you're this group over here as your pastor. Martin Luther says this about the Holy Spirit. Maybe you remember it when you were growing up. And from the catechism, how does he define the Holy Spirit? Luther says this: I believe that I cannot, by my own strength or reason, believe in Jesus as my Lord. I can't even come to him by my own reason or strength. But the Holy Spirit calls me by the gospel, enlightens me with his gifts, and keeps and sanctifies me in the one true faith. That's the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit, you have experienced the day of Pentecost in your life. The Holy Spirit has come down in your baptism, and he's with you. The Holy Spirit has come down in the forgiveness of your sins. That's the Holy Spirit at work. The Holy Spirit is keeping and preserving you in the faith. That is a precious thing these days because so many leave and go in a different place. You have opened up the Bible, much like Peter and Stephen, and seen these things in your life, and you have joined the crowd and said, yes, the Holy Spirit is alive. This is what God promised me, and the Holy Spirit is at work in my life. That's why you're here at church. It's why you come. It's why you receive the forgiveness of sins. It's why you care and pray for one another here at Peace. But friends, here's the thing. There's a lot of people joining the peanut gallery out there. The Holy Spirit, they might have received it. I don't need the Holy Spirit. I don't really, what happened in my baptism, it's not so important. The forgiveness of sins, it doesn't matter so much to me. It's actually not that the Holy Spirit has not come down. You see, God desires all people to be saved. God has sent his Holy Spirit down upon all the nations of earth. It's that there's quite a few people who have joined the peanut gallery. Dear friends, one of the things that the Holy Spirit does, I really appreciated Joni's words this morning in what the Holy Spirit does. I'm going to throw in one more thing that the Holy Spirit does. It prompts us to serve. It prompts us to serve. And here at Peace Lutheran, we are honoring those who serve in our church. It's really everyone in our church. It's special. Think about all the yeses that people make just to make today possible. Gathering here for worship this morning. Someone said yes and put together our projection. Someone said, yes, I will go out and mow the lawn so that it looks great. Someone said, yes, I will set up communion. Someone said, yes, I will prepare a dish out in the fellowship hall. Someone said, yes, I'll serve on council. You get the picture. Everyone can serve. And that's not just checking something off and getting it done. That's a Holy Spirit prompting us to serve. And even if you can't do anything, you can still serve. I just experienced it 2 days ago in the hospital. I visited one of our members, and they chose to serve on a hospital bed. How? They were hooked up and receiving IV treatment. They were struggling with their own health concerns. They had some challenges, and they asked me, who can I pray for today? And before I could even finish my sentence, they just stopped and prayed for that person. They served. It's a wonderful gift here at Peace. But let's be realistic. There were peanut galleries in the first century when Jesus walked the earth, much more than those who were his disciples. There were peanut galleries in the 18th century, 19th century, and there are peanut galleries today. When the Spirit comes down, whenever our sins are forgiven, we receive the gifts of God. Let's jump over into this category, Peter and the 11 disciples, and say, yes, Lord, you're at work in my life. How can I partner with the Holy Spirit? How can I listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit to serve? So this morning, it's a shorter message, but here's the most powerful part of my sermon. We're now going to show a video of many of the serving activities here at Peace. And this doesn't cover everything, but it just gives us a picture of all the serving and the prompting of the Holy Spirit here at Peace. Thank you. Let us rise for prayer.